All right, if you have your Bibles, will you turn to Philippians chapter 4, please? We're in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. The word careful is the idea of anxiety or worry. And what Paul is saying, stop worrying about everything. All right? Stop worrying about everything. The present imperative with the negative, it means stop doing what you're already doing. Paul's exhortation to the Philippians is that they had to stop their worry. You remember, as I told you, there's a series of exhortations or commands given in this section of Scripture, beginning with verse 3 and going down through, in verse 4. Rejoice is a present imperative, and we saw that is important. We saw that our moderation ought to be known, a present imperative again, ought to be keep on keeping known as a passive voice and make it known. We've seen that one. Now he's telling us not to be anxious or to worry about anything, nothing actually. He says be worried, be careful for nothing. We've been looking at that, and I was trying to share with you how do you stop worrying? How do you stop worrying? It's sort of natural for us to worry about things. And I've been going through, I've been giving you some things of how you can stop worrying. First of all, we want to know that the Lord is at hand. That's very important for you. He's already mentioned that in the previous verse, that the Lord is at hand. We looked at that and we saw that the Lord being at hand may refer to His omnipresence. He's everywhere. He's with you right now. He resides in you. He knows your situation. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about the circumstance. And He is in control of those circumstances, so you can relax. You don't have to worry. The other possibility in this, and it could be not only the place, but it could and the time, but it could be that it's referring to time in this verse. I get that a little bit confused. It's talking about place, He's with you. Talking about time, it's time for the Lord to come. This word at hand is the same word that's used that the kingdom of God is at hand. It's coming, it's imminent, it'll be here at any moment. Christ is coming again for us. He's at hand. He's referring to the rapture. If the rapture happened today, if you knew it was going to happen today, would you be worried about all the events that you have to worry about? I mean, I'm not worried about making payments tomorrow. I'm not worried about getting to work on time. I'm not worried about my bills. I'm not worried about the boss. I'm not worried about my health. I'm not worried about... I mean, I could give up all my worries if I knew that He was coming today. Or tomorrow. Or the next day. But I want to tell you what, He is coming again. He is at hand. So you don't have to worry. Now the second thing that we noticed is that we ought to realize that worry is sin. I quoted for you Dr. Pentecost from his book on Philippians that we need to realize that worry is sin. It's just as bad as adultery or drunkenness or it's a sin, and we ought not to do it. You ought to be aware of that. And when you do worry, you ought to recognize it as worry, you ought to recognize it as sin, and you ought to confess it. I want to give you a couple of verses to think about when you're going through this. These are, they're appropriate, but they're thoughts that I want you to look at. Will you turn with me to Matthew chapter 13, verse 20? Let me find it here. Matthew 13, 22. These are verses that you ought to think about. And you're familiar with these verses. We've used them a number of times over the years. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, He also that receives seed among the thorns. He's talking about the sower and the soil. And He says, He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. And the care, this is the same word that we have back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Now that word choke means to strangle or to suffocate. And our worries seem to come in and they suffocate. the truth that we know. I was sharing with my Sunday school class this morning that there ought to be in our lives a motive for what we do. And everything that we do ought to be in light of our relationship with God. Everything. What you do, is it going to affect your relationship? And I was sharing with him that I told him that I love my wife. You all know that. I've told you that 1,000 times. And I'm very careful about my relationship with my wife. And I do things, and when I'm going to do something, I think about my relationship with her. Will it affect my relationship with her? And how would it affect my relationship with her? If I feel that it would be, or if I think that it would have a negative effect upon our relationship, if it would tear down that relationship, I won't do it. If I think it's going to build our relationship, then I will be apt to do that thing. There are times that my wife, or I tell my wife, I'm going to do something, but I take into consideration of that, what I'm going to do, how it will affect our relationship together. I used a crazy illustration. You know, when I was single, I dated a number of girls, all right? I mean, I go back, I was young, and I dated a lot of girls, as a matter of fact. When I got married, I don't do that anymore. You see, even if I saw someone more beautiful than my wife, which is highly unlikely, but if I saw someone more beautiful and I think, boy, I would like to date her, I don't do that. But if I did, all right, this is a fourth-class condition, if it won't happen, all right, and it's not impossibility. But if I did, I would immediately say, I need to take my wife into consideration. I'm not going to date anyone else. Because it will affect our relationship. If there is something in my life that would affect my relationship with God, see, that relationship is even more important than my relationship with my wife. Do you know why? Because my relationship with God is eternal. I won't have to worry about my relationship with Linda when I get to heaven, whatever that relationship may be between man and wife in heaven. I won't have to worry about that. But down here, I worry about my relationship with God because I'm going to have an eternal relationship with Him. So I'm going to be very careful how I do things. And I will do things that will help build that relationship, not tear it down. And I think about the things that I'm going to do before I do it. Now, there are things in this world, as the Lord says, that they're the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. And what they do is they smother, they suffocate the Word in our lives. And what result do you have from that? You become unfruitful. Do you notice that? Worry is a sin. The cares of this world will suffocate the truth that you know. Turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 10. You have basically the same thing, but it's just a little bit different here. The Lord Jesus says, "In the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word." Suffocate, same word. It suffocates it. It hinders it from growing. It chokes it out. It sort of
puts a stranglehold, you know, on someone.
It puts a stranglehold on the word. And it becomes unfruitful. Turn to Luke chapter 21, verse 34. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "And take heed to yourselves." Be careful with yourselves. lest at any time your hearts be overcharged. The King James is a little hard there to understand. It means burdened. Lest your hearts be burdened with surfeiting, which is debauchery or headaches caused by drunkenness and drunkenness. And the cares of this life. You see what happens with those things? It catches you unawares. It catches you off guard. It's easy to worry. We worry. Don't we worry about most everything? Gus was worrying about the Patriots. Now he's really worried about the Patriots as they go into the Super Bowl. I'm only kidding. Anyway, we worry about things. We worry about things that we don't need to worry about. Are there things that we ought to worry about? Is there? Yes, there is. You ought to worry about how care, the word care, for the things of this world, for your husband. Didn't Paul say that in Corinthians? Same word. You ought to think about the things of this world, how you may please your husband. And your husband ought to care about the things of this world to please you. Paul talks about all the cares of the churches that God has established. It was care in his life. Listen, he's talking about the things of this world that come in and consume us. I see you as a puzzle face in your...
I don't think how the same word can mean it's okay to do and not okay to do.
Well, the object is the important thing. The object for cares, all right, for you is your husband and your family. He's talking about the cares of this world, the things in this world that surround us and come in and suffocate the word, choke out the word. We need to be careful. There are things that we ought to care for. But John? No, the same word. Yeah, anxious, care, worry, same word. Do you all get that? I don't want to confuse you. I think I covered this a couple of weeks ago. There are things that we ought to care for. You know, I mean, but there are things that creep into us and they catch us off guard. We begin to care about the things of the world. Our jobs, our financial security, our homes, our cars, you'd go on down the list of things that we don't have to worry about those things. Do I care for my wife? Absolutely I care for her. I care for her in the sense that I want to protect her. I want to give her the things that she needs of this world, if you please. The things, her needs. But there are things in my life that I don't really have to struggle for. God knows that I'm going to care for my wife if I love her. God knows I care about the things that I do that would please Him. But He doesn't want me to be surrounded by all these other things in my life that are coming from the outside and trying to influence me, that I get concerned for those things. Any other questions? I want you to be clear on that. Don't go away thinking that, okay, I can live a carefree life. It really doesn't matter anymore. I'm not the care for anything. Que sera, sera. What is that? Whatever it may be, and just, hey, we don't have food at the table, that's all right. We'll go hungry. My kids are starving to death, doesn't matter. There are things that we have to care for. It's the things that we shouldn't be concerned about. These things that come from the world that creep in on us, and that's what Paul's talking about. And apparently in the church at Philippi, what were these women caring about? Anybody remember what I said? Do you remember the word moderation? I have to go back in my notes. I don't even remember it. But there are things that Let me try to remember what those were. I didn't mean to bring it up today. Refresh my memory. It'll come to me in a few moments. But there are things in the world that we ought to care for. Don't misunderstand that. These two ladies were concerned with is gathering up people to support them. Their interest in their own for themselves. All right. This was I want you to agree with me. So you come to my side, and the other woman on the other side. You say no. You come with me. And they were only interested in their own benefits. That's what they were concerned about. And they were worried about that. I mean, oh, she has one more than I do. They were worried about the wrong things. And Paul is writing in particular to these two women in regard to their relationship in the church. Are you with me? Any questions? I don't want to confuse you. See what the cares of this world do to us. It causes us to take our eyes off the important things. And we begin to move away from our relationship with God. And we want to please ourselves, our own interests, instead of the interests of the other person. And the fact is that we ought to be interested in one another. We ought to care for one another. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us that in Corinthians, when he talks about the body, how one member ought to care for another member. Same word. So there are cares that we have. I care for you that you walk uprightly. I care for you that the truth is being presented to you so that you can live by it. Now, that's why I don't care about everything else around me that would maybe draw me away. But put the things in order the way they ought to be. And there are things that we ought to care for, and there are things that we shouldn't care for. What Paul is talking about in this particular passage is all the things that were happening in the church, the divisions, all those other things that were coming in, these two women fighting constantly because their concern was for themselves, not for others. And he said, listen, stop it. Stop it. Stop caring for the things of this world. Any other questions? All right. First of all, you have to understand if you're going to stop worrying in your life, to realize that God is in control. He's at hand. He's right here with you. You don't have anything to worry about. The second thing is that to stop worrying is we got to realize that it's sin. The third thing is the futility of worry. It doesn't change a thing. Does it? I don't think so. I mean, I worried about a lot of things. Some of the things I worried about came to fruition. I mean, it happened. I didn't want it to happen, and I worried about it happening, and it did happen. Didn't change the matter because I worried. Do you remember what I told you, I think last week and the week before, that 99% of the things that we worry about don't come to pass? We worry, but our worry doesn't produce a thing in our lives. Will you turn to Psalm 127 with me? Psalm 127. I want you to note here, and this is sort of off the chart maybe in what I'm trying to share with you, but maybe I can explain to why I use this verse. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it, except the Lord keep the city. The watchman watches in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. For so he gives his beloved sleep. I get it. Now I want you to notice in this verse that the word vain is used three times. The point that I'm trying to make to you is that everything is vain unless the Lord is in it. Except the Lord build the house, it doesn't matter about anything else. If the Lord's building it, you don't have to worry about it, right? I was thinking about this morning. Turn over to Acts chapter 5 with me very quickly. I don't have this on my notes, but in Acts chapter 5, verse 39, the apostles have been called before the Sanhedrin, and they've been accused of preaching Jesus Christ, and the Sanhedrin is really upset with them. And there was a man by the name of Gamaliel, a great teacher among the Jews. And his counsel is wise. And here's what he said to this effect: if this be of God, you cannot overthrow it. But perhaps you be found even to fight against God. Now listen, if you're worrying about something, if it's of God, you don't have to worry about it, do you? And if you're going to worry about it, and you're going to try to overcome that by your own efforts, you'd be seen to be fighting against God Himself. If God is in it, and He is, then you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it at all. Will you turn to Matthew chapter 6 with me? Matthew chapter 6. Verses 31 to 34, a familiar passage to all of you. But let me read it to you. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek. Now the Gentiles are the heathen. These are the unsaved people. He says the unsaved people think about those things. Now, I know the context. It's about Israel. It's written to Israel. Don't argue with me about that at this point. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. Does He not know that? Why do we worry about those things then? But seek first. Now remember what I said, if God's in it, then you don't have to worry about it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. And if our thoughts, if we first seek the kingdom of God, if our attention is on that, my relationship with God is more important than anything else, I'm going to do what He tells me to do. If He tells me not to worry, I don't have to worry about it. If He tells me I ought to be concerned or worry about the things for my wife, I ought to do that. If He tells me that I ought to care for the church, I ought to do that. But as far as clothing, a roof over my head, my job, all those things, I don't have to care for. See, we're not robots. We have feelings inside of us. There are things that move us. But sometimes the wrong things move us. We're moved, we're worrying about things that we don't have to worry about, and things that we should be concerned about, things that we should worry about or be care for, we don't. Will you turn to Jeremiah? This is an interesting passage. Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah 17. Verse 7 and 8. Jeremiah says, blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he will be as a tree planted by waters. It's in a good place to grow. A tree that's planted by waters doesn't have to worry about, you know, drying up. It's going to get sufficient water. And what happens to that tree that's planted by waters? That spreads her roots by the river. In other words, its roots go out and it's sufficient. It gets what it needs out of the water and out of the ground. And here's what he says. And will see and will not see when the heat comes. Now what he means by that is this. That when the heat comes, that is the heat of the day, it will not affect him. He doesn't have to worry about the heat of the day. Why doesn't he have to worry about the heat of the day? Notice what he says. He doesn't have to worry. The leaves will be green. Why are they green? They have sufficient water. Where are you planted? See? You ought to be planted where you're going to get sufficient water. You're in the Lord. You have sufficiency in the Lord. And when the drought comes, you don't have to worry about it. When the problems come in your life, you don't have to worry about it. But her leaf will be green and will not be careful, that is, anxious or worry, in the year of drought. I don't have to, the tree doesn't have to worry about the drought. It's planted by the waters. Its roots go down deep into the water. Now, I'm going to sort of digress at this point. Your roots have to go deep. Where should you be grounded? Where should your roots be? In the Word. If you don't know the Word, if you don't know the truth of the Word, you're going to be like a tree that's planted in the desert. It's going to wither and it's going to die. It has no source of water. It has no source from which you can glean from so that you stay green even in the drought seasons. I was telling my Sunday school class that it's so important that they establish their own system of theology, if you please. What do they believe? See, a high school kid says, well, my church believes this. Or he says, oh, well, my parents believe this. The question is, what does the Word teach? What does the Word say? What do you believe? Not what does our church believe? Not what does my parents believe? What do you believe? If you don't have roots, if you're not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, if you're not rooted and grounded in the Word, you have nothing to draw from. And when the drought comes, guess what's going to happen? You'll feel the heat of the day because your leaves are withered. You'll feel yourself drying up because there's no water. And then he goes on to say, neither will you be fruitful, neither will you bear fruit. What do you believe? Not what does John believe, not what does the church believe, not what my husband believes, not what my wife believes, what do you believe? You must form in your life your own theology, your own system of understanding God's Word. When you can draw upon that, you will be like a tree that's planted by the river. You'll have all the source that you need to grow and to be green and to fight the droughts and fight the problems of life. You don't have to worry in that situation. Because you know who you are. You know who your relationship was. You know His care. You know that He's a sovereign God. He watches over you. He cares for you. He loves you. He loves you more than you love yourself. He cares for you more than you care for yourself. And God will overshadow you in all these problems of life, protect you, because you have a source in the Word. One more verse. Let's see. Where is that? No, we'll go to the next one. The fifth one, fourth one. Worry not only affects you, it's not only harmful to you, but it's harmful for those around you. See, it affects your relationship with other people. It affects your relationship, in this particular case, in our congregation, it affects your relationship with your spouse. It affects your relationship with your children. See, the reason it affects you is because everything's about you. I'm worried about you. No, you're worried. You're worried. And it affects what you do. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 with me very quickly. In that passage of Scripture, Paul is explaining to the Corinthians that the body of Christ functions like a human body. And we need each other. Each member is important. And what he tells them, he says that which seems to be unimportant, that which seems to be insignificant, are the members that we have to pay the most attention to. They seem inferior, but they're not. But because they are not standing in the front, we have to put more care upon them. Notice what he says in verse 25. In order that there should be no division in the body, but that the members, that's all of them, as a group, should have the same care. There's your same word that you have back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The same care one for another. Do you care for me? Let me ask you again. Do you care for me? I know, Sarge. Sarge going like that. Well, we ought to show the same care one for another. You ought to care for me just like I care for you. And you ought to show care for everyone in this congregation. What ought we to be concerned about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We function as a body. We are a body. And one member is important in that body. Without it, you see, the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Doesn't seem very, very important. The hand. If I had my choice between my eyes and my hand, which would you choose? Certainly the hand. If I had a choice between my eyes and my little toe, which one would I choose? We are all important. We have to show the same care for the eye as we do with the toe. We have to show the same care for the eye as we do to the hand. We have to be concerned for one another. We have to care for one another. Not in the things of this world, but as we function as a body. We function together. Not one that lords it over another. We don't do that. I don't lord it over you. I don't try to tell you what to do. I will teach you the word and let God tell you what to do. But I'm not telling you what to do. Well, I am. Stop worrying, all right? I am telling you what to do. I didn't tell you that. God told you that. I'm just helping you to come to grips with that, because it is a sin, and you ought to recognize it as sin, and you ought to deal with it. The fourth thing is that you ought to realize that worry is not only harmful to you, but everyone around you. All right? Will you turn to Psalm 27 with me, or 37 with me? Psalm 37. See, God never promised us that we wouldn't have troubles in this life. We all have trouble. We all have problems. God never promises that He's going to take away all our problems. Now, someday He will when we get to heaven. But down here, we're going to have problems in life. You're going to have, you know, all kind of problems. We have problems with our kids. We have problems with our health. We have problems with our job. You name it, we have them. God never promised He'd take them away. All He did was He promised that He would see us through them. And He would help us to deal with them. Will you turn, again, Psalm 37, verses 1 to 5. You turn there, because this is very important. And I have 5 minutes to cover it, so be hurry. Fret not yourselves because of evildoers, neither be envious against the workers of iniquity, for they will soon be cut down like grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will dwell in the land, and verily you will be fed. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways unto the Lord, and trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. Now, I know this is written to Israel, and I know the desires of their heart is to be in the land, and I know all that. But I want you to pull out a few things out of this verse that will help you. The first thing is the word fret. He says, fret not. Now the word there is kara, the Hebrew word. The word literally means to glow or to blaze up. And then it goes on to mean anger or to be incensed about something. Now David has all these problems coming upon him. And he's saying, fret not. Don't get all worked up. See, we work ourselves up to a frenzy when the troubles come, don't we? What am I going to do? We get all worked up inside. First thing he tells us, if you're going to stop, fret not. Don't get all worked up inside. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get all bent out of shape. The second thing that he tells us, the first is that we have to fret not. The second time is we have to realize that all these things that are coming into our lives are only temporary. Did you notice what he said? Look what he says. For they will soon be cut down like grass and wither as the herb. See, all these problems in your life are only temporary. Why do you get all worked up? You don't have to. He says, fret not, because they're only temporary. Some of them are real problems. I don't want to take away the real problems. But they're only temporary. The things I worried about last year, I've forgotten about already. Did any of you worry this past week? Do you remember what you were worried about? Maybe it's my age, I don't know, but I've forgotten already. They're only temporary. The third thing that we ought to note is that he realizes that God will provide. He will feed you. Do you think your God, your Father, doesn't care about you? Do you think He doesn't know your problems? I want to tell you, He created them for you. Just for you. Isn't that nice of Him? Why does He do that? He wants you to become strong. He wants you to trust in Him. The fifth thing is that you commit your way unto the Lord, regardless of how hopeless it may appear. Commit yourself unto the Lord. The word commit's an interesting word. It literally means to roll. Isn't that interesting? It means to roll. It's used back in Genesis. You may remember the story. Rachel has come to the well. As a matter of fact, Jacob's there. And Rachel comes to the well. And Jacob says to Rachel, why don't you water your sheep? And she says, I can't. There's a stone over the well. And except someone come and roll the stone away, I can't do it. Now that word roll is the same word you have back here for commit. And what's he saying to you? If you're going to, you need to commit your way. You need to roll all these things over on him. Do you have some problems? Roll them over on him. Or are you worried about something? Roll it over on him. Commit your way unto the Lord. I have to pick up on that next week. Got a couple more things I want to say, but we have to close now. Listen, I don't want you to go out worrying about everything. There are things that we ought to worry about, but certainly not the things of this world, not the circumstances of this life. This life is only temporary. Your relationship with God is eternal. He will take care of you, won't He? What did He tell us in 1 Peter chapter 5? Casting all our what? Our worries on Him because He cares, He's interested in you. Roll them all over on Him. And when you do that, guess what? You're carrying that burden of worry just driving you down. You roll it over on Him, you can stand up straight. You don't have any, you don't have to bear them yourself. You don't have to bear them at all. He has asked you to put them on Him. Father, we thank You this morning for Your love and Your mercy and Your grace. We thank You that You're sovereign, that You rule in the affairs of men, that You rule in our affairs. You bring things to pass in our life that sometimes they don't seem pleasant. They cause concern and worry on our part, but You've told us to put them on You. Roll them over. Cast all our cares upon Him. Upon You. So Father, this morning as we leave this building, You might remind us of Your presence with us, that You are at hand, and that You're coming again. And we thank You for the promises. In Jesus' name, amen.